Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. This is Pastor Kevin Radlin, and you are listening to our podcast / radio program, and we are located on 91.5 FM every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m., and we are on our website at ourlighthouse.net, and you can just go to Turn the Light On tab there on the website, and you can look at any of the programs, past, present, future. Well, not the future ones, but they'll eventually make it there. But anyway, we like to get together, do a program. We're a topical Bible study here on the air, and I always like to bring a guest, and I've got one of my pastors in my own life and mentors. Pastor Dave Ellis is with me today. Pastor Dave, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Pastor Kevin.
So, man, two days in a row, man.
You know, it's been fun.
Be careful. You know, yes. You could get used to this. Yeah, no, amen. I'm just kidding. But he is actually visiting in town, and anytime he's in town, we always try to at least say hello and get together. And if I can get him on the air, I will.
Amen.
I know he's always busy, but you know what? He had a little bit of spare time. So here we are, and he is a plethora of knowledge in the Word and in the kingdom, and you know, my wife always loves it when I use words that I'm way overqualified for, like plethora. Yeah, but you know what? You are, honestly. I have always had nothing but respect for you and the Word. So listen, we're going to continue our run on the kingdom, okay? And why are we here? And yesterday we said we're here to make the enemy our footstool.
Yes.
Or to make the enemy God's footstool, you know?
Yep.
I mean, really, Jesus lives in us, so he's our footstool too, but it's all for the glory of God. We wouldn't want to take that glory. That wouldn't be a good thing. But why don't you just kind of kick us around a little bit? We ended the program yesterday talking about what is the gospel, and I think that's really where we're going to go today. What is the gospel? And why don't you lay a little groundwork for us? And then we're going to jump into a couple of things that I think are just going to blow you guys' mind. So hang on.
Amen.
And we're about to really just take a little journey into the Word. Let's pray real quick. Lord, we just thank you for being here with us on the air and being with everybody who's listening. Lord, help us to understand how your kingdom works, why we're here, and help us to know that we are your battalion, your warriors, your kingdom that is advancing in the earth. And we have come to bring life to people, and we've come to bring a total pain to the devil. So we thank you for all that you're doing. Give us wisdom here today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Pastor Dave.
Amen. So we're going to touch base when the definition of good news, because part of our challenge is as 21st century individuals, we like to think in our own definition of what we understand good news to mean. But what we need to do is take a step back and look back to Jesus's time, and even before that, because when Jesus is talking to his disciples, or he's talking to people in the Gospels itself, he's introducing this thought, I am here bringing good news.
Right.
And they would already have an idea what he's talking about with good news
in that day and age.
With their own vocabulary
in
what we would call ancient Near East thinking.
Right.
So going back 2,000 years and more.
A king is coming, right?
A king is coming.
Yes.
So I'm going to read you a couple real quick things. So in the New Testament, in the word eugalion, it frequently eugalion frequently refers to a royal announcement, such as news of a new king.
It's like trumpets blowing beforehand.
Here he comes. And for the general public, quite apart from whether that announcement would result in good for me or you personally. So it was never equated of, what am I going to get?
Right.
It's a royal announcement that a new king has come or a victory has taken place. So it's not intrinsically about me personally.
Right.
So that's why when Jesus makes the declaration,
it will eventually affect
you. It does. Oh, big time. Big time. But just understanding.
But not really about you.
Yes. No. So for example, when Vespasian became Caesar, this was heralded as good news for the empire before he had done anything good or bad without regard for his intentions towards specific individuals. This is in Josephus' book on Jewish wars. Everyone knew Vespasian's ascension meant that some specific individuals would benefit and others would be condemned. Yet in the ancient world, it was still appropriate to call such events, quote unquote, good news for the empire as a whole, irrespective of anybody's individual income.
Right.
Not income, outcome.
Right.
So it wasn't affecting me personally. So my intent when talking to you and sharing with Pastor Kevin here and with the audience is when I hear the word good news, Jesus came bringing good news, which is the Greek for the gospel, I'm understanding it's an announcement that a king has come. He's establishing his kingdom, and it's going to affect people in a good way and a bad way.
Right.
The choice is, which side am I going to be found on?
Exactly. So now decisions have to be made.
Yes.
When the kingdom comes, you know, there's a decision. Are you going to partner with the kingdom?
Yes.
Or are you going to stay partnered with the kingdom of darkness in your life?
Yes.
That's really good.
So then we see something interesting because it's kind of this threefold process that rolls out in the Gospels, which the first one is there's a, I lost my notes. Come back.
That's all right. I think the first question was this.
Yes, go
ahead.
How
do the Gospels inform us of Jesus' rise to kingship? I think that's where you were.
Yes,
you
were, I was.
Because you know, there's a threefold pattern in all of that, you know?
Yes, so, I got you know, it.
Yep.
So the first one was there's always a designation for a king.
Right. And we see that all through Scripture, you know, when the first king was announced, you know,
yes.
Samuel went and anointed Saul
yes.
king, right?
He did.
And just what? Just poured oil, right?
Yep. He did.
That's the first thing I always see that the prophet gets the word of the Lord, here's the king, you know, because honestly, Jesus, I mean, God wanted to be their king. And we talked about this, and they all whined and cried and said, no, we want a real king. And they're like, he's going to take all your women. He's going to tax you. He's going to do all this stuff. I won't do that to you. I'll be your king.
Yes.
They're like, no, we want a real king. So God gave them what they wanted.
Yep. Anoints him with oil. Yep. Second thing he did was he found himself amongst the prophets and prophesying. So here we have a demonstration of the Spirit of the Lord coming on
the king,
Saul.
Right. I remember that.
In this designation.
Story.
Yeah. So there's.
And he started prophesying.
Yes. So there's obvious signs of a designation. And then, of course, there's
and spiritual giftings, actually.
Oh, yes.
That come upon you.
Totally. Which, you know, before the program, we were talking about when someone is designated as a senior leader of a church, there's a grace that's bestowed upon them to lead the church that's entirely different.
Yeah.
Than not being the senior leader.
Sure.
You see things, you hear things from the Lord, you have insight, you do.
Yeah.
And without that, you don't want to do that job.
Sure. You
don't. So there's the designation of kingship.
How about the next one's divine declaration?
Yes.
Did you see that?
I do.
Thus says the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So there's the voice of the Lord, which we continue to acknowledge.
It came through the prophet in the beginning stages.
It did.
But, I mean, this goes all the way up to Jesus. He was declared king as well.
He was. Oh, yeah. Very, very overtly.
Yeah.
Especially at the end of his life.
Yeah.
As a demonstration. So it goes through with Jesus' baptism.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
And the witnesses of everybody was there.
He didn't need to be baptized, but he was because he wanted to show us and fulfill all righteousness. He wanted us to have a pattern to follow as,
yes.
And you'll see why as we go throughout the program here.
Yes. So John's, the Baptist, is anointing him, announcing that the arrival of the Messiah has come.
Right.
So now God's going to approve with a demonstration. People heard either a voice or it sounded like thunder.
Right.
They recognized that something was going on.
Yes.
And John acknowledges it as, I saw the Spirit descending upon him like a dove.
Ooh.
So now we have, let's say, demonstration of a supernatural event taking
right.
place, not
in the
just
voice of God.
Absolutely. We see it with the Old Testament example of, you know, Saul and with David, where
yeah.
those took place. You can see the change in the men when the Spirit of the Lord came upon them.
Yeah.
In Jesus's case, being designated as king, there's, I want to say, witnesses being leavened into the narrative, which is interesting for me that both John, not John, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Yeah.
And we want to acknowledge that most of, if not all of Mark's gospel is Peter's
right.
story, to say this is what they saw and recognized, and they were intentional about letting us know what that was and what it looked like.
Wow.
So that we have a witness.
Sure.
God's really good about leaving witnesses. Also, let's see. The second part, I'll move on to demonstration because there's a lot, I think,
sure.
in demonstration. So the first thing we talked about is there's a designation as a king. So there's things that took place to say, this is the king.
This is him. He's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the giftings. Here's the authority.
Yes.
Here's, you've now been given all that for the purpose mm-hmm. of now you get to be the king.
Yes.
That's where demonstration comes in.
Demonstration
right?
comes in to say, okay, we want to be able to physically see, recognize, and acknowledge that what is being done by a king,
right.
not by a normal individual,
right.
for lack of a better word. It's not just some individual saying, I'm declaring myself king,
right.
self-proclamation, self-appointed, you know, those kind of things.
Right.
Because there,
that stuff happens that, even today.
It happens, unfortunately, today that God's not in the middle of all of that.
Right.
So anyway, there's a demonstration. So there's this declaration of, I'm going to walk out what the king does in his kingdom in establishing the rule of heaven. So I'm using specific language to
nice.
Say, what did Jesus bring? I think it's Isaiah 53 that really sums it up for me, that he himself bore our infirmities and carried our sicknesses, and by his
right.
stripes we are healed.
So good.
And everybody wants to maybe, certain camps want to have a dialogue or discussion about, well, that's only spiritual. Unfortunately, Matthew eliminates that
right.
from your vocabulary if you read Matthew 8:17, because mm-hmm. Matthew says that all the physical healings, and he started with the centurion on
right.
receiving the word, you know, you don't have to come to my house. You can
yeah,
just come to my
house.
Just say
it.
The word.
Just say the word.
Say it.
I'm a man under authority.
Yep. He's actually acknowledging
it.
That he's a king.
Yes.
And he has authority to make a declaration
yeah.
and make it come to pass.
Yes.
Then there's a couple more healings in there. And then Matthew goes, oh, yeah, and by the way, this is in demonstration and fulfillment of what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah
53.
So he found the scripture.
He found the scripture that backed it and that it was actually
yes.
going to happen. And that so it was actually the fulfillment of a prophecy.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Of the Messiah coming, and this is what he was going to do. So
there are so many prophecies even being fulfilled now, man. Have you seen
Amen.
The one about the rivers in the desert? And
oh,
there's
no.
actually,
they're finding
right
it?
Now, no, in Turkey and different areas,
okay.
water is just simply blowing up out of the ground in the deserts right now, Pastor Dave.
Oh,
I'll show
I
you.
I have not seen
I'll have
that.
To let you see
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll show it to you later, but prophecies are being
okay.
fulfilled. That's all.
Yes.
Just a little squirrel moment.
Yes.
So anyway.
Well, no, this is okay.
So, yeah, you're in demonstration.
Yeah, he's bringing proof of the anointing that's on his life, and he's demonstrating it.
Wow.
So when anybody says that they're a king, we need demonstration.
Sure.
And we have every
Prove
right
it.
To ask for it.
Prove it.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Especially, you know, if you're mm-hmm. going to say you're the King of Kings.
Yes.
Oh, really? Let's see.
Yes.
Show us. And
so,
he did.
Yeah. Amen.
So clearly. You know, yet so many people still don't see it. You
no.
know, they choose not to. It's almost like they've been blinded. You know,
well,
the enemy is trying
of,
to blind
yeah.
people. And he's trying to blind you guys from recognizing mm-hmm. and knowing that Jesus is king. But I'm here today to tell you that there is demonstration and that God will prove himself to you. I always said, God, show me you're real, and I will live my life for you. And God showed himself to me. He healed my body. He brought me out of addiction, and yes, my whole life changed because of demonstration. And Jesus
we
showing me
be,
yes, that he was
that.
Really, truly king
yes.
and a king worthy of following. And
Amen.
That changed my whole life.
Me too, brother. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then last but not least is the third part is the coronation.
Ooh, so everybody loves a good coronation.
Yeah.
I think we've recently watched all that with the new king in England and all of that.
Yeah, so it's very real.
So it's real fresh on everybody's mind. What is a coronation?
Yes.
You know, well, there's an event.
That there says, is.
We are placing you into the position of kingship.
Yes. So in our case, it's in the Gospels. All the writers, again, added testimony to what Jesus went through. There was an examination by the local government officials. You say you were a king.
Yep.
We're testing that. That was part of the accusation from the Jewish leaders as he says he's king.
And they said he's the Son of God.
Yes, he did. He actually acknowledges it in front of Caesar.
That's, deity level kingship.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, Pilate, when I said Caesar, so it's his government official.
Pilate. Right, right.
So, yeah, and the coronation goes on for all of us. We would recognize in this thought is, what about the crown of thorns?
Yeah, every king, when they're coronated, are given a crown.
Yes, you see that.
Placed on the head.
Placed on the head was a crown. Jesus had a crown placed on him. He had a robe.
Yes.
That the Roman soldiers were mocking
him. Wrapped it around
him. But it's still a demonstration. God is visibly demonstrating in this earth realm.
Yeah.
He's my king. He's a guy coming in. He's bringing a kingdom.
Yep.
And you're acknowledging it. You're doing it right here, right now.
You don't even know it.
Yeah.
And you are actually taking him through the coronation process, but it was the coronation process of humility, which was also Jesus showing us his real true colors and who he really was, because he was he was doing all of that.
He was.
While he was becoming king, he was, taking our punishment.
He was, yes.
At the
In
same
his
time.
Mocking.
Yeah.
They were mocking him, but had no idea what was actually taking place in front of them.
Nope.
Then he's placed between two thieves, which you never put a king between thieves.
Never.
And God demonstrates in front of the whole universe, any realm you want to think of. It makes me think of, in this age and also in the age to come, he is the king and he has come. He's been crowned with thorns. He's been given a robe. And the crucifixion is his coronation event.
Right.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. So now we're left with... We have testimony. What am I going to do with it?
Yeah. So here we have a king, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this king has now taken the throne.
Yes.
He's been given dominion over the earth. God said everything that is in the earth has been placed under his kingship now.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Because Adam was king.
He was.
At first. And he submitted and resigned his kingship and gave it to Satan.
He did.
And Satan became the god of this world, through sin, right?
So
now I'm seeing this kingship now needs to be taken back, and God couldn't take back the kingship as God because he gave the earth to man, right?
Right.
So God had to send Jesus, who was God, as a man to take back the kingship. To take it back and then to place himself back in that authority as king.
Yep.
But he didn't do it just to be king. Mm. He did it to make us kings. The Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He paid the punishment for the cost of resigning the kingship.
Yes.
In Adam, Jesus had to die.
He did.
He had to go to the cross. But then in that process, they crowned him with the crown of thorns, and they robed him, and that was him getting that kingship back from the enemy.
Oh, it was.
you see it?
I mean,
that's
incredible. Shocking.
It's him taking it back through sacrifice. It was the only way it could be brought back.
Yes.
To man from the devil.
Isn't that ironic?
And then, oh my gosh. You know, he who knew no sin became sin so that we would become the righteousness of God in him.
Yes.
So he made us kings and priests before God through his sacrifice. Him becoming king, he was able to make us also able to become kings and priests of the earth again.
Yes.
And to step into the authority. And now, you know, he's still our king.
Yes.
He is the king of kings now. What does that mean? He's the king of kings. We've all been made kings, you know, under him. So he's the king of all of us.
Yes.
And we're kings now and priests in before God in the world.
Yeah. It's so radical.
Whoa.
That the king would come and not ask you and I to die for his kingdom. He says, no, as the king, I will die for you. And then in that is my coronation to be the king of those I am now trusting and designating as my kingdom people to rule and reign in the earth and bring the kingdom every place, as we go back to every place your foot treads. I've given it to you.
Yeah. You know, I always look at these shows with kings in it, and anytime you would show submission to the king, and you would bend the knee.
You would bend the
knee. It'd be like, bend the knee. Well, you know what? Jesus bent the knee, and he washed our feet.
Yes, he did.
He washed the feet of his disciples, and he bent the knee for us, you know, so that we could therefore come back and then submit to him as well. But he was showing us by example that this new kingship, this new kingdom that was going to be the king of all kings kingdom, you know, is a kingdom of humility, a kingdom of sacrifice.
Yep.
And he said to us, now I've went to the cross, they crowned me, I'm crowning you. Now you take up your cross.
Yes.
And follow me.
Yes.
Every day of your life and submit yourself to his kingship, because we talked about a kingdom. You got to have people, you got to have authority, you got to have, you know, land, you've got to have all those things that you got to have.
Yep.
We have that in Christ.
We do. So the question now is,
we are in his kingdom. We are his kingdom.
Yes. It's okay. I'm a housewife. What's your kingdom?
Yeah.
It's right there where you're walking with.
Exactly.
If you have little people around your feet, it could be your spouse. It's you exercising that authority of the kingdom in your neighborhoods, in your schools, in all those places.
So even us here at Lighthouse Church, you know, we've adopted the school across the street.
I love
it. It's part of our part of our domain.
You're
across the street from us. You're a part of our kingdom, you know, and the principle is, said, you know what? Come on over and pray with us, you know, and be a part of us.
That's incredible,
brother. God's doing great things, you know, because we are operating in the power of God, and we are seeing tremendous things begin to happen all around, everywhere we go. So, hey, guys, we're going to take a quick break real quick. We're going to come back and finish up this whole idea of kingship and the gospel.
Amen.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome
in this place.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait
only for you.
Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I want to say thanks to our sponsors. You guys are awesome. Use them if you can. I tell you what, they do great work. So, Pastor Dave, we've been talking the last couple of days about the kingdom, the gospel, and now we've been talking about kingship, and now we've actually thrown it all the way to Jesus went through this process of kingship so that we could be shown by example how we needed to go through that same process of kingship, because we become kings under the kingship of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and he is the King of Kings. We're those kings that he's the King of.
Yes.
And let's just, how do we make that practical for everyday people out there, Pastor Dave, that are just sitting there right now listening to us and they're going, all that was really interesting, but how does that apply to me?
Amen. Great question. Very applicable to why we do what we do and sharing, you know, the good news. So the good news is, it's the announcement that a king has come, and there's been a transfer of power. Satan, who's described as the ruler in the earth, has now had the keys taken from him. You can think of verses in Revelation where the keys of death and hell have been taken from him, and Jesus has them. Now he's, by demonstration, brought healing, wholeness to people, deliverance, raising the dead.
And is still demonstrating
it. And is still demonstrating it. And what he wants to do is do it through you and I.
Yes.
So it's recognizing, alerting ourselves that I am now part of a kingdom that has no end. The increase of his government does not end. And I am to go and demonstrate. So on a practical, everyday level, I need to ask myself, how can I bring the good news of the king and the kingdom to the people that God has in my life?
So good.
And let's just, if I need to pray for somebody, then I pray and I believe and we watch God heal people.
Yeah.
If people need deliverance, we bring deliverance. If they need their soul taken care of because their emotions are all over the place, we can bring peace.
Yeah.
So I think of Romans 14, for the kingdom of heaven is, what is it? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
So it's cooperating and walking in partnership with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, so as a king ourselves,
yes,
you know, under the King of Kings, you know, we've been given authority in the earth, and that anointing oil of the Holy Spirit has been poured over us to show us that we have that power and that authority, and
now
it's our responsibility.
Yes.
So what I'm hearing you say is
it
to
is.
Go out, be who God has called us to be in our lives, for the lives of those around us, and then bring them into the kingdom. I think that's powerful.
Yes.
Go out and win somebody to Jesus today, everybody. We're
Amen.
So glad you joined us here at Turn the Light On. Have a great day.
Amen.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Marinella, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.